Welcoming to the program, good friend of the show from the 9th Legislative District, Senator Mark Schessler. Good afternoon to you, Senator. How are you?
Well, great to be back with your listeners.
So we'll start off with the fact that today is a bit of a, well, it's a somber day to recognize that it was 850 days ago that Governor Inslee declared a state of emergency due to coronavirus in Washington State. 850 days, and there seems to be no end in sight, Senator.
No, there, I believe the end in sight will be the end of Jay Inslee's term. But I guess, you know, if you ask the average person on the street, are we in an emergency? I would suspect they would say, what emergency?
You know, Senator, that brings up an interesting question as well, because some have debated the end of the state of emergency. Would it be Governor Inslee no longer being in office, or would whoever steps in, if another Democrat is elected in 2024, if Governor Inslee chooses not to run, another Democrat is elected, would that state of emergency transition over, or does it end with the initiator of the state of emergency leaving office?
Well, I believe it ends with the initiator, because they made that executive order and that executive is no longer there.
Well, we can only keep counting down until 2020, technically January 1st of 2025. So we'll keep counting that down. But Senator Schessler, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the program today is there are many who have thrown some ideas out to help people that have been hit with inflation, rising costs, particularly those on fixed incomes that are getting hit from multiple sides. You have proposed an idea a little bit outside of the box, one that we haven't heard anyone discuss yet. What would you like to see the legislature or the governor do?
I'd like to see the legislature go into a session, special session, immediately, pass a 1% decrease in the sales tax and put a sunset on it of when the legislature adjourns or legislative action. If we see that we can't afford it due to the economy, we could suspend it or we could let it go on through legislative authorization. Governor Inslee has said no way to a gas tax holiday. His friends Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi said bad idea. So when you say no to a bad idea, you lead with a better one. The quickest, simplest, broadest tax relief is a sales tax. Property tax is cumbersome and slow. Excise taxes affect different people differently. Some people like their alcohol, some abstain. But sales tax, we all pay.
We're talking with Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line.
Now, would this be a repeal of just the state portion of the sales tax, or would this be the whole kit and caboodle, the local option as well?
No, of course, it's a state portion. We will. I think local government should consider reducing their sales tax. Ben Franklin Transit might be a great place to start. But no, we're not asking local government. We're saying the state has excess money. Let's give it back to the people during this time of high inflation and higher fuel prices.
Now, Senator Schessler, this has been discussed, if I remember correctly, either this past session or the session before, the idea was thrown around about potentially reducing to 5%, correct?
Well, there were a number of proposals out there. Washington Policy Center, Jason Mercier, strongly supported it. We had Mona Doss, who was about as far as left as any member of the Senate, sponsored the bill. My friend, the late Doug Erickson, also sponsored a sales tax reduction. So the idea is from the far left to the far right of the Senate, local think tanks, and it's a good idea. Many liberals say it's regressive. So if it's regressive, it should be the first tax you reduce. If you live in a border community, say Vancouver, Pullman, Clarkston, it immediately makes you more competitive with your neighboring states.
Senator, let me just ask you this. I mean, the whole argument against suspending the gas sales tax is because a lot of people feel that oil companies simply will just raise their prices to whatever the tax was. Wouldn't retailers do the same thing? I mean, wouldn't the same thing happen?
Well, I think we're dealing with a huge array of products. And for example, perhaps you have Safeway and Rosar's in your community, and the portion of items they sell with sales tax, if one of them tries to gouge, the other one can take advantage of it. We have far more competition in retail than we do big oil.
Now, one of the other interesting things with this idea, Senator, is we hear the tax system all the time. You alluded to it earlier. In Washington State is regressive, yet it seems most of the taxes that the majority party come up with are exactly that. So this will give those people most impacted by the inflation increase, also the supply and demand increases, everything that we're seeing in a number of directions, this will give them more relief. And from the single mother working two jobs, driving her gas guzzler to both, to somebody who's in the middle class just trying to keep the roof over the head and keep the kids in school and so on and so forth, this gives them something substantial that they can actually put a finger on, because it's not one place they get this benefit, it's every place.
Absolutely. And this is one of those things, in Olympia speak, we can dial it up or down. How long do we implement it for? Or if we get there and things are looking good, maybe we should go more than 1%. But you can dial it up or down to fit your budget needs and to provide relief to that average hardworking taxpayer.
We're talking with Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line.
And Senator Schessler, by the way, it's Greg Neft again. Let's talk a little bit about how much this would cost the state. I mean, does the state have the money to pay for this sort of thing? Would they be able to cover this sort of thing?
Great question. The most recent revenue forecast that came out said we picked up about $1.5 billion. Just the increase in revenue for the remainder of this biennium would pay for about a year of this relief without tapping the reserves or anticipating the growth in the next biennium. So we can do it simply on the growth of revenue that came out just last week.
Now, it's interesting, Senator, because there have been a few things that have come out recently. Like, there was a report, I think a couple months ago, that mentioned due to the lack of enrollment in public schools, there was about $900 million that didn't go to public education. There are a few things out there to where money that was allotted was not necessarily spent in that direction. And there was also another one that came out that said Washington State's rainy day fund is the worst of any state in the nation right now. Are there ways to look at this at not only providing tax relief in that 1% model that you've discussed for the sales tax, but also getting us back on better ground as far as the rainy day fund?
Well, I think the rainy day fund loopholes need to be closed. The majority created loopholes to avoid putting money in the rainy day fund where it was challenging to get to. We can close those loopholes they've used on more than one occasion since regaining the majority in the 2018 session.
I'd like to piggyback just a quick question on the education piece, because there are some pointing to the drop of enrollment in public schools around the state as not something that they're going to recover from. If we're talking about that kind of money, $900 million, that did not go to public education for funding that was set aside, is there going to be another relook at McCleary? Is there going to be a relook at how public education is funded, maybe to a degree that takes a burden off of taxpayers by covering the, quote, operational levies that are in existence at the state level?
Well, the first thing we need to do, though, is quit funding ghost students. You know, we've, for 2 years in a row, due to COVID, due to this and that, we've funded kids that never showed up. That has never happened before in K-12 or higher ed. If they don't show up, let's look at how we appropriate it. We fund charter schools at a lower level than we do regular public schools. That probably could change. I think the public is getting more interested in scholarships for their kids out there. For example, you know, Liv Finney and I talked about, and I sponsored a bill to give special ed students a scholarship they could take anywhere, not just the nearest public school, because sometimes your district is smaller and not as well suited to kids with special needs. So take it to a public, private, or charter somewhere else and put yourself in the driver's seat.
Senator, we're talking with Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District. We've seen some other states, some close to us, one a little bit further south in Arizona, pass a bill through their legislature, and the governor signed it, I believe, that would create something along the lines of what you've talked about, where it would almost be a tax rebate for parents that chose to send their kids to something other than public school. They would get a credit on those property taxes they're paying that are going to the schools. If there is a change in direction in this state in November where the deficits decrease between the two parties, could we see something like that, to where parents get some kind of a tax credit or an ability to have a larger aspect of school choice? Or is this something that would immediately get shut down by the governor because the WEA is too strong?
Well, I think first thing is a different majority or a different mix, you could start the discussion. And I think you might as well assume you're going to do a referendum because the governor is loaned lock, stock, and barrel by WEA. They probably would run an initiative anyway. So let's go straight to the people with a referendum saying, if your kids don't go to a public school, perhaps you should get a property tax credit on the portion that is going back to schools through the McLaren fix. It's certainly a discussion that I think is timely.
We're talking with Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District here on the Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. And Senator, as we talked earlier, 850 days. Is there any discussion at all? Are you hearing anything from legislators potentially on the other side of the aisle that they are now getting tired of this and this has now become a facade?
You know, I think they've just happily gone along with it. And in an election year, they're not really interested in bucking the trend in their own parties. This 850 days, no rational person would have a problem with 30, 60, 90 days. But 850 really reaches a point of ridiculous if you look at it objectively.
And Senator Greg Neft, again with you, I often think of this emergency order declaration, and as you say, it has been going on for 850 days. A lot of times I'll have to cover one of Governor Inslee's press conferences, and this question always comes up, and he always answers with the same thing. And I'll pose the same question to you. What is it that we cannot do? What is it that he's denying us the ability to do? That's how he poses the rhetorical retort, if you will.
Well, right now, there are still a number of those emergency rules out there. Some good, some probably not as good. But are they necessary? You know, the question back is, which of these are necessary for the health and safety and well-being of our public?
Senator Marchant,
can you justify them? The list is not as onerous, but it's still a fairly long list.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, there's certainly things that we're probably not seeing behind the scenes, and that certainly can. It doesn't impact the average person, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, I think, you know, we shut down open government in the name of COVID. And not having in-person meetings, no input from the public. Journalists were locked out of the process, whether they blog, radio, or print, and that was wrong. And the general public was locked out. These abuses should never be allowed to happen again. Anybody understands 30 days? Hey, forest fires, Mount St. Helens, earthquake, we get it. But 850 makes it lunatic.
Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th District, thank you very much for your time this afternoon, sir. Always appreciate you joining us and look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Great to be back with you and all your great listeners.
Going to take a quick time out. Back with more of the Bottom Line News Radio, 610 KONA. If you thought the Supreme Court was done, Greg, they might not be.